Folks, it's really good to see you all, especially those of you who may be visiting from elsewhere in the country. A very warm welcome to Gunubi. Have a wonderful time. But of course, today we know it's Good Friday. And for those of us who love and follow Jesus, I guess we have mixed emotions on a day like this. On one hand, we're deeply humbled and grateful that because of the cross, our debt of sin has been paid. We've been reconciled to God. And we live with the hope of eternal life, and for that we are incredibly grateful and humbled. But on the other hand, if you're anything like me, you also feel, I guess, deeply emotional on a day like this. In some ways saddened because of the great price that was paid for our salvation. You think of all that Jesus went through, all that he suffered physically, emotionally, and spiritually. All that he endured on our behalf. And just last night, for those of us who were fortunate enough to come and spend some time in the Garden of Gethsemane behind me in the hall, just a real powerful sense of God's presence in that place. An awareness of the road that Jesus walked, the price that he paid for what we enjoy today. And just for those who may have missed that, it is available today again, I think from 11:30 till about 1:30. Or if you can't make today again on Sunday after the services, but just a real day of mixed emotions, grateful, but also on the other hand, saddened. So let's turn in our Bibles, please, to John chapter 10, as we look at Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. And then we'll conclude our time together with a time of reflection and response around the communion table. The shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. John chapter 10. And we're reading from verse 11. This is Jesus speaking, and he says the following from verse 11 of John chapter 10. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling," your Bible might use the words "hired hand," and not the shepherd, "one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, which I must also bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. This command I've received from my Father." Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, "He is a demon. He is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Beautiful words. Father, thank you for your precious word. I pray that as we examine Jesus, the good shepherd, the one who sacrifices, the one who gave his life for his sheep, Father, may we have a fresh revelation of Calvary, a fresh revelation, Lord, of all that transpired on that awful day 2,000 years ago. Father, the price it was paid for our salvation. Thank you, Father. Won't you cause these words by the power of your Holy Spirit to come alive in our hearts and lives this morning. If we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how many of you watched the movie Invictus some years ago, or maybe read the poem at high school called Invictus. Lenny, you? Thought not. Lenny missed that one. But one of the key phrases in that particular poem, Lenny, is the author writes, he says, I'm the master of my fate, and I'm the captain of my destiny. In other words, I'm in control of my life. I call the shots. And I think we all know that life is way more complicated than that. Life is far more challenging, far more uncertain, full of curveballs and unexpected surprises. And there comes a point in our lives where we realize the author of Invictus was wrong. We can't captain our own ships. We can't steer the course of our own lives. We need direction and we need help from Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And so what does a shepherd do? And I'm building up, you're going to see, to Calvary. I'm laying the foundation for what's to come. What does a shepherd do? Well, first of all, we hear from Jesus that a shepherd leads. In those days, shepherds would lead from the front. They wouldn't lag behind. They would be the leaders of the flock, ahead of the sheep. And all the sheep were trained to hear the shepherd's voice. They would recognize the shepherd's voice and follow the shepherd. That's what Jesus says in verse 4. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes ahead of them. He goes in front of them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. David writes in Psalm 23, and bear in mind, he himself was a shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, and he leads me beside the still waters. Folk, that's encouraging news this Good Friday, that in a world full of uncertainty and chaos, where there are things that will come across your path that will rock your life, that will shake your foundations. There's a shepherd, the good shepherd who goes ahead of you. He leads the way and he leads you in this world of chaos and anxiety and fear and stress to a place where there's still waters. A place where you can live in peace and perspective and rest. Some of you this morning need to allow the good shepherd to lead you to that place. Place of rest and place of peace. He goes ahead of you. The second thing a shepherd does is a shepherd feeds the flock. The shepherd leads the flock to green pastures, a place where the shepherd knows those sheep will be well nourished and well fed and satisfied. And maybe you, a sheep this morning, had spent years of your life trying to feed yourself, as it were, in the wrong places. You filled your soul with things that you thought had the potential to satisfy you. And only once you'd eaten from that bowl, you recognized it was an illusion. What you ate, what you experienced, didn't satisfy you. And today the Good Shepherd offers you food. He offers you bread from heaven that will satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Only the Good Shepherd offers you that. He leads his sheep. He feeds his sheep. And then thirdly, we read in this text that the good shepherd protects his flock. The good shepherd's concerned about their safety. He's concerned about their well-being. He's constantly on the lookout for danger. In fact, that's why Jesus says in verse 12, he speaks about the reality of wolves. Situations and circumstances and opposition that has the potential to distract you, to sidetrack you. And potentially to destroy you. You think of a wolf. A wolf is not there with good intentions. A wolf is there to devour you, to destroy you. And Jesus says, as you navigate this life, as you walk the road of life, there will be things that will come across your path. Let's call them wolves. That if you're not careful, if you're not vigilant, have the potential to destroy the very fiber of your being. What are the wolves that Jesus speaks about? Well, there could be one of three things. It could be a sinful pattern of behavior in your life, something you just continue to do over and over again, a destructive cycle of sin. You promise yourself never to do it, but you find yourself doing exactly the same thing over and over again, and it sucks you dry. It destroys you spiritually. Maybe a wolf in your context could be an actual person. They say wolves come disguised in sheep's clothing, and they look like they're friendly. They look like they're harmless, but they're harmful. They're destructive. And some of you have been on the receiving end of a wolf in sheep's clothing who's damaged you, who's hurt you, who's destroyed you. sinful patterns, actual people, but maybe also the reality of a spiritual enemy. Maybe the enemy Paul describes in Ephesians 6 as these spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, a real spiritual enemy that were coming against your life and your marriage and your family and your future and try and destroy you and lead you away from the path of Jesus, from the path of righteousness. And that's why Jesus is the good shepherd. In that context, he leads, he feeds, and he protects. But in this passage, you would have noticed that Jesus also makes the distinction between the good shepherd and what he calls a hireling or a hired hand. You see, for the hired hand, there's no ownership involved. You read that. He doesn't own the sheep. The sheep don't belong to him. He's got no personal investment in the sheep. And so when trouble arrives, the hired hand runs. We all know that when you own something, you pay more attention to it. When you've personally invested in something, you're concerned about it. You think about a rental car versus a car you own yourself. People tell me, and you may know better than me, but it's always a risk to buy a rented car. Because the people who rent their car have maybe not looked after it the way they look after their own vehicle. You can see how someone polishes their Mercedes-Benz. Every corner's polished and glinting and shining, but the rental car, they'll drive through a pool of mud and take it back in that condition. Why? It doesn't belong to them. There's no ownership involved. The same for a business. Leaders now have realized that if you can give your employees an investment, a share of the company, let them become stakeholders in the business, they pay attention to the business. Why? Because they've got a personal investment in what goes on. But the hireling, Jesus says, he's got no such investment. But the good shepherd is personally invested in his flock. Folk, I want you to hear this morning. The Bible says that God knows each one of you by name. In fact, the Bible says your very name is engraved in the palm of his hand. You're not just a number, a statistic to the good shepherd. He created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knew you before your parents knew you. He knew you before the foundation of the world. You are loved. You are treasured. You are valued. The good shepherd has a personal investment in your life. And unlike a hired hand, and some of you need to hear this morning, the good shepherd is available in the worst of times. Folk, that's encouraging because each one of us will have a worst time. Each one of us will have a darkest hour. And the way you can differentiate between the hired hand and the good shepherd is when that darkest hour arrives, when your world feels like it's falling apart, the hireling runs away, but the good shepherd walks towards you. In your darkest hour, when the doctor says it's cancer and it's terminal, in the darkest hour where you lose your job or you lose a loved one, a spouse, a child. In that darkest hour where you don't know how to deal with life, the hireling runs away. He's not invested in you. But your creator, your sustainer, the lover of your soul, the good shepherd, he walks towards you in your darkest hour. And he holds your hand and he leads you and he guides you and he feeds you. And then in verse 15, Jesus takes it to a whole new level, and this is what today is all about. He's been building up to this verse. He says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And listen to this, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, Jesus, the good shepherd, didn't just risk his life for you. He didn't just take a chance on you. No, Jesus, the good shepherd, gave his life for you. Jesus, the Bible says, substituted himself for you. He died in your place, and he died for your sin. Isaiah writes prophetically, maybe 600 years before the coming of Jesus, he said, just go back one, please, operator. He was wounded. And wherever you see he, you can put the name there, Jesus. He, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He, Jesus, was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was laid upon Jesus. And by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, laid on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And he continues. Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Folk, this is the heart of Easter. This is Good Friday. This is the Good Shepherd who became a sacrificial lamb. This is the only shepherd in history who became a lamb, and that lamb laid down his life for his sheep. The righteous dying for the unrighteous. The godly dying for the ungodly. The perfect dying for the imperfect. Some have called this transaction the great exchange, that he who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us, that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. That's a powerful verse. That on the cross, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, didn't just die for your sin. But Paul says he became the very worst of who you are. All of your sin, all of your failure, all of your baggage, all the things you deeply regret having done and said, all that you're ashamed of about your life, all those things you're glad people have never found out about you. The Bible says on that cross, on that Good Friday, Jesus became all of that. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. The great exchange. So friends, I want to say to you this morning, never underestimate the price that was paid for your life. Never take for granted the road that Jesus walked. Keep coming back to the cross. Never lose sight of the cross. The cross is where it begins. Salvation for you is free. It costs you nothing, but it costs Jesus Christ everything. Everything. You know what? We're going to read the story of the crucifixion in a moment, the whole story. But you'll discover as I read that to you in a while, it wasn't just the physical suffering Jesus experienced. But Jesus experienced the terror, the horror, the agony of being forsaken by God. I said it today, I have mixed emotions. Friends, experience the agony. Thanks, Mom. You know the words he uttered. Something supernatural happened. As the sky turned dark when it should have been bright, it turned dark as God the Father turned his face from his Son. And in that moment, Jesus, you'll discover in a moment as I read it to you, he bellowed those terrifying words. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And friends, he uttered those words that you will never have to hear them. You will never have to stand before God one day and to be forsaken by him, because it's already happened. Jesus did it for you. That's why we're here today. That's why we sing. That's why we pray. That's why we give. That's why we sacrifice. That's why we love. This is where our hope lies. That one day we stand before a holy God, not clothed in our own performance and righteousness, but be clothed in the garments of the one who was forsaken on our behalf. This is the heart of the Christian message. You will read. I will read it to you in a moment. That even as Jesus hung on that cross, as he had those 9-inch Roman nails driven through his hands and his feet, even as the Son of God hung there, people had no compassion for him. Nobody felt sorry for him. You will discover that people all around him, and you may have been one of them had you been alive in those days, hurled insults at him. They mocked him. They said, Jesus, you thought you could save others, but you can't even save yourself. What kind of savior are you? What kind of redeemer are you? You weak. You powerless. You got no ability to save anybody. Friends, they were wrong. Jesus could very easily have saved himself. In fact, the Bible says Jesus could have called upon legions of angels at any given moment. It wasn't Pontius Pilate. It wasn't Caesar. It wasn't the Jewish people. It wasn't the Roman soldiers who kept Jesus Christ on their cross. It was his love for you. Nothing else. Jesus says, no one takes my life from me. Nobody. I lay it down of my own accord. The good shepherd willingly giving of his life for his sheep. This was a willful act of obedience and love and sacrifice. Nobody took the life of Jesus Christ from him. He gave it of his own accord, and he gave it for you. I don't know how many of you, some years ago, I was living in Eastern Turkey at the time, watched the movie The Passion of the Christ. But The Passion of the Christ is a movie that you may find difficult to watch, but it was screened all across the Muslim world in those years. And many of our students went to watch that movie. And I remember late one night, one of my students, Abdullah, phoning me. And he was saying, Mark, did you watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ? I said, I watched it. He said, Mark, did those things really happen? And I said to my young Muslim student, Abdullah, I said, Abdullah, they really happened. And they happened for you. Jesus died in your place and for your sin. This is love, my friends. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Well, let's wrap it up this morning by reading verse 18 as we prepare our hearts for the communion table. Jesus says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. But listen to this. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Those are remarkable words. I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. No wonder in verse 20, people who heard those words said, this man's insane. In fact, he must be demon-possessed. Who has ever met a man who says, I have the power to die, and I have the power to take my life up again. I have absolute authority over life and death. Nobody can say that. But Jesus did. On Good Friday, he died. But you know what? As somebody once famously said, It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I have the power to lay it down. And on Sunday, we will lift the roof off this building. You will see. The tears will be gone. Because Jesus had the power to be resurrected again. And today, He lives. And He reigns. And He rules as King of the universe. As King of kings and Lord of lords. The Good Shepherd with the power over life and death. Let's close our eyes, please. Just as your heads are bowed, just to read some words which hopefully in the light of what I've shared this morning will really encourage somebody this morning. And you can personalize these words and apply them to your context. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to invite those who are serving the elements this morning to come and join me. In a moment, you're going to receive a piece of bread. It symbolizes